Good afternoon, everyone. That's what I was looking for. My name is Sandy Asari Hogan, and I had the distinct pleasure of serving as the project coordinator for the Building Bridges Initiative. And this is just a program, or a pilot program, rather, that sought to really increase access and utilization of health services in the Fort Worth area among four different refugee groups. And as you can see there, that's me and my PI and other co-PIs, as well as the community health workers who played a really significant role in this particular project. I have nothing to disclose, no relationships. So a few things that I hope that you can gain at the end of this presentation is just, you know, just general knowledge of barriers associated with the refugee communities in the Fort Worth area, ability to explain how community health workers increase knowledge and capacity of their communities, as well as identify a few advantages of the community collaborations that enhance the health of refugee communities and their importance. So again, the Building Bridges Initiative was a community-based partnership between the University of North Texas Health Science Center, School of Public Health, and also the Department of OBGYN, as well as the Texas Refugee and Immigrant Women's Association, a nonprofit organization focused on refugee women, to educate, learn, and empower leaders in the refugee community. And then the purpose of the Building Bridges Initiative was to, again, reduce health disparities among low-income refugees by increasing their access to knowledge and utilization of local health care services. So the ethnic groups that we focused on were the Burmese, Karen, Bhutanese, the Somali Bantu, and the Iraqi. So I'm sure that when you look at this, you're just like, maybe we were overly ambitious in what we were doing, and the answer would be absolutely yes, we were. But it was a pilot project, and it was definitely a learning process. You know, there's this model for capacity building that we were just thinking about. We have all of these resources within the community and these different community assets that really kind of serve as the safety net for refugees in their resettlement period. And these are things that should also exist post-resettlement. But what we're finding is that post-resettlement, the refugee communities are kind of removed safety net. And so after 8 months, they're expected to be, you know, overly sufficient and be able to navigate the system, a system that I, who have been born here in the United States, I mean, although my parents are, you know, immigrants, I still can't navigate the health system, let alone Walmart. So for that matter, so, you know, it makes it increasingly difficult for refugee communities sometimes to deal with this and deal with it without case management. And so that's kind of where Building Bridges stems from, and we seek to kind of build that bridge between the refugees who are no longer under those resettlement services. So some of the barriers that we've seen just through our through the program here are the idea of balancing divergent cultural beliefs and practices, and that's with practitioners and people who are just delivering general social service activities, language and literacy issues, and then the balancing of time and familial obligations among the refugees themselves, because oftentimes we're asking refugee individuals to do certain things, but they don't have the time or the ability to do that because they have these other obligations that they're bound to. Engagement of refugee women in the topic of general health, and differing understanding of health, other systemic barriers associated with, again, you know, just some of the rules with regard to Medicaid, lack of awareness of resources. So these are some of the issues that really impede the actual utilization of healthcare services in Fort Worth, and I'm sure that these things maybe reign true in other places as well. So bridging the gap, what exactly is the gap that we were bridging? So as I stated before, we are looking at women who are no longer under case management or eligible to be served by the various resettlement agencies. And our focus was, because it is the Department of OBGYN, we did want to focus on reproductive health issues among these different groups, and then wanted to identify various gaps in services, as well as looking at resources for communities to serve I'm sorry, this is, should be refugee individuals to serve their own community. So it's kind of, you're empowering these community members to, you know, seek out services for themselves and be an active resource in their communities. And then again, for opportunities for women to be leaders, where oftentimes women are not maybe viewed as leaders in their community, they really do serve an important role in getting information out to other women within their communities. So just at a glance, we have four phases of the building bridges, and that just goes from just the basic development of the program to ultimately the dissemination of the information as a result of our findings. So in the first phase, what we did was we selected women. Well, we didn't select women. Our community partner, TRIWA, actually selected four women representing these four different refugee groups to serve as community health worker or to go through this program. And they went through a community health worker certification. Mind you, it was a lot of time that our community health workers put into this program to be state certified. So they went through 160-hour training. Oftentimes, this was at night when they had other familial obligations and schools and things to deal with. This was provided by the university. We have a center where they train community health workers on campus, so that was helpful as well. And then just some criteria for our community health workers. We did want to make sure that they were able to communicate in both in English and in their native language, with a certain level of literacy as well. And even that in and of itself was a challenge. In addition, our community health workers were not just some kind of ancillary aspect of our program. They were actually part of our research team. So they actually had to be IRB trained. And so we had to find really some creative ways to figure out how to train them and create a general understanding as to, you know, what your rights are as a researcher, what the participants' rights are, and how we're going to go about facilitating this program and engaging in research in these communities and do so ethically. In the second phase, this was really an assessment of the health needs and assets of the refugee communities, and so we did this through focus groups. Our community health workers were actually the ones that completely facilitated the focus groups. We had a list of questions we wanted to ask, and then we asked them, do you think these things are appropriate? Should they be reworded? Do you think that people in your community would actually understand these questions? And so we went through this process where we wanted to make sure that we were actually capturing the information we needed to capture, and then use this information from the focus groups to then figure out what education programs we would offer that were also facilitated by our community health workers. And so participants in the focus groups ranged from ages 18 to 44, again, were not under the case management of the various refugee resettlement agencies. And this is just some brief demographic information regarding the focus groups. As you can see, the Somali Bantu had actually been here much longer than many of the other groups, at 92 months on average. The Iraqi group had higher, higher level of education. Bhutanese had also been here relatively long. So you see there's some differences, and this also speaks to the different needs of each one of the groups, because sometimes people have a tendency to comp refugees just because they're all refugees, but they have very different needs in each one of these communities. So in the third phase, we did our actual education classes, where we actually connected various people to different resources. So we provided different education classes on reproductive health. We did one on diabetes. And then we had service fairs, where we would actually get them enrolled in services that they qualified for. And oftentimes we found that there are people who, you know, things had lapsed. And so there's a county hospital, and they provide an actual program where they can get access to health care, and so we were helping them get enrolled in those programs so they can have access to care. And so we reached, through our education and outreach activities, approximately 139 refugees, and then that was comprised of about 59 adults and 18 children in our service coordination fair. So again, small gains, but there's a lot of implications for future projects. So again, the importance of the CHWs, I can't really stress how important they are. In this idea of, we talk about cultural competence, but or cultural humility, if you will, but they play a really important role because they are the ones that know, you know, their beliefs and how those things play out and why or why not someone may engage or not engage in a particular health behavior or health-seeking behavior. So they played a really important role in trying to make me better understand their needs and how I could help address them. So again, we had four community health workers. We identified different perceptions, needs, and barriers. We improved knowledge of health and linking women to health care services. We enhanced the community's capacity, and we increased health care utilization and served 139 refugees through the process. So in maintaining the bridge, it was important for us to try to find additional funding to actually make sure that this program could actually go further. And so what we've done is we've found grants for, you know, pressing health needs in the various communities. So one focused on cancer screening is pending, and also projects that include the Medicaid 1115 waiver, trying to find ways to sustain and expand the role of the community health workers. We have to serve as an advocate for community health workers, especially in the medical setting, the social service setting, because again, they play such an incredibly important role in transferring that information from the medical setting into the community setting so that people can better understand why it's important for them to maybe seek out those services. And again, encouraging other community members to be a source of information for their communities. It would be nice to adopt similar models, obviously with some changes, continue collaborations with refugee resettlement agencies to have this conversation of continuity of care from no longer having those services in the resettlement agency to post-resettlement, partnering with community organizations to meet the needs of different communities. And then just in conclusion, I'd just like to add one thing. My time's up here, but as a result of this program, our community health workers have, two of them have are employed. One of our other community health workers is actually going through a CNA program, has been applying for different grants for school. She's finishing up high school. Our Iraqi community health worker actually had to drop out of the program after the focus group because of family issues. But they've been empowered. And even one of our Bhutanese community health worker, the CDC came to their door and they were doing I don't know if anybody knows about the study that they're doing with refugees on mental health issues in the Bhutanese community. So a CDC worker actually came to her door and she said, well, where's your paperwork? Do you have an IRB? I mean, she went through the whole thing. So the idea of empowerment and knowing your rights was something that what may have been foreign before, but now is something that they readily embody and they understand. And they're empowered and they want to go forth and empower other people in their community. So I see our project, while we had some challenges, it's been successful. And just hopefully that we can move forward and make other people see why things like this are important. So thank you. And again, just